It's time for our annual Spring Gardening Hour with Master Gardeners Susan Reimer of the Baltimore Sun and Nancy Taylor Robeson, the Grow It, Eat It blogger. This time, how to launch your personal farm-to-fork effort, how to grow your own in your own backyard, from spring planting through the early summer. And then Chef Donna Crivello of Donna's Cafes in Baltimore comes by the studio to suggest what to do with all that good stuff, asparagus and greens and the other vegetables we'll start to see soon in the farmers' markets. Midday in the Garden, coming up after the news from NPR. Welcome back to Midday, everyone. Dan Roderick's here. It's Midday Friday, our second hour. Thanks again for joining us. Earlier this week, we looked at farming trends in Maryland, and one of the things we talked about is how the popularity of fresh local produce is inspiring a generation of new farmers to get into the business. Continuing along those lines, during this hour of our show, we'll be talking about the fresh local produce you can grow in your own backyard. It's our annual Spring Gardening Hour, when we invite local experts to share tips on getting good results, even superior results, in your own backyard, from growing the juiciest of tomatoes to planting the perfect peas. We'll have something for those of you who've gardened before, and we'll be putting a special emphasis on launching your own personal farm-to-fork effort, which you've been meaning to do for years, right? And this is the spring you're going to do it. Also on the show today, Donna Crivello of Donna's Cafes here in Baltimore will be with us to talk about, you know, what to do with the fresh vegetables you grow. And boy, does Donna know what to do with fresh vegetables. She's got some great recipes. They'll be posted on the Dan Roderick's Facebook page. You can go there and you can hear Donna talk about them a little bit later on in this hour. But first, I want to introduce our gardening experts. My colleague from the Baltimore Sun, Susan Reimer, is here. Susan is a columnist, of course, for the Sun. She's also a master gardener who's been writing about her gardening adventures for years. Susan, it's nice to have you back on the show.
Good to be here, Dan.
And also with us, joining us again, Master Gardener Nancy Taylor Robeson. Nancy writes for the University of Maryland's Extension's Grow It, Eat It blog. And Nancy, nice to have you back on the show, too.
Thanks for having me.
And as usual, she brought her goodies with her, Susan. This happened last time Nancy was here, too, because Nancy does a lot of preserving and canning and nice to see you again, Nancy.
Thank you. Always when you bring food.
Yes, yeah.
Always welcome.
Right. Bring food,
always,
yeah.
Welcome. And Nancy's over from Kent County. But first, let me talk about, here we are finally in spring, it seems like. I haven't been outside much today, but it seems like it's a pleasant spring day. Earlier this week, we had the return of winter briefly and some frost. So, Susan, first, just generally speaking, what kind of damage did you see in the backyard from the long winter and then just this frost this past week?
Well, driving home last night, I saw everybody's beach towels out over their window boxes and their annuals and vegetables that they put out too early. I think what you're going to find in most gardens is a lot of winter burn. A lot of plants look dead, but they may not be. Hmm. You can tell for sure by using your fingernail to scrape, and if there's green underneath on a branch or a twig or something, if there's a little green under there, then that's still alive. But I think what most of us are going to have to do is wait all the way until June before we prune to see where we get the new growth.
So be patient.
Be patient. I think rosemary, God bless its little heart, I think rosemary didn't make it.
No, mine didn't.
Really?
This winter.
Yeah. Now you know it's a bad winter when rosemary doesn't make it.
Right. Yeah. And rosemary salesmen, I think, are going to be having a happy spring. I think those of us who were lulled into thinking we could push our temperature zone a little bit and go for some tropicals.
You talked about that the last time you were here.
Yeah. And thinking, oh, hey, it's cool. This stuff over winters, I can do this. I think we're going to lose a lot of that unless you had some place that you could shelter it. I know I lost a lot of pots. They cracked,
yeah.
In the cold. My herbs, which I keep close to the house in pots, and usually they winter over. They all bit it. My parsley bit it. Everything.
My chive exploded.
Oh.
Chive is beautiful, but I haven't checked on it since the frost of the last couple of days.
Oh, how do I'm things envious. I want the chives.
Yeah, I don't know where this chive came from. It was raring to go. I guess the winter, you know, it finally said, this is enough. This winter's been too long. Here I go. Boom. But I haven't checked it since the frost. Now, Nancy, How are things looking over in Kent County in your backyard, especially with this past week, with this frost we had?
It is. It's very, very slow. And, of course, I live in farm country, and I live right down the street from a CSA, which I know you talked about the other day. My personal garden, I lost my rosemary. I think I've lost a number of things, but I had peas that I started in the house because it looked to me this year as though it was going to be cold and wet for such a long time. And peas have such a narrow window. You know, if it's too cold and wet, they rot in the ground. If it's too hot, they won't produce. So I started them. I've got a little backyard greenhouse, and I started them in there, and they got to be about 10 inches tall, and they just had to get out of those little cells. So I put them in the ground 5 days ago, and then I covered them over with row cover, which I think has saved them.
Okay. Now, so that's unusual for you to start peas indoors.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't usually do that.
I have never done it before, and I'm going to do it again.
Okay, good. But because that window is so narrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
You sometimes have to get up in the middle of the night to plant the peas because you only got about a couple of hours, right? I'm sorry, that's a Paula Poundstone joke. You know what Paula Poundstone said about cantaloupe? She said cantaloupe goes from being hard as a rock to ripe in about 10 minutes. So you gotta get the kids up in the middle of the night to eat it. I'm sorry. I stole that from Paula Poundstone.
That's true.
Let me give the phone numbers here. 410-662-8780. If you have a question about gardening for Nancy Taylor Robeson or Susan Reimer during this hour of the show, our toll-free long-distance number, 866-661-9309. The Midday email address, you can send a question that way too, midday@wypr.org. That long winter, people are anxious to get rolling. So do you think some people planted a little too early?
I saw a lot of geraniums go out.
Geraniums.
The week before last, and I thought, people, calm down. You know?
I mean, don't put them outside yet.
No. People were buying them.
And
I thought, okay, everybody just relax. I think there's a lot of pent-up desire to be outside to be in the garden and to just, you know, see what's out there and what's alive. I think we're going to see some other things this spring. First of all, the snow cover. We had a lot of snow. It's not as much as rain, but it still was a lot. It stayed in place. It filled up the gardens. And I think when things do start this year, they're going to like bolt out of the out the door because there's a lot of water in the ground. I think there's going to be a lot of pollen in trees and shrubs and plants because there's plenty of water. Now, we're going to be dry as a desert in August again, and we're all going to be complaining. But I think it's not going to be like a super wet spring like it rains every day, but I think there's a lot of water in the ground, and that's good for the plants because we've had such tough summers recently. I think we're going to see some changes in insects. Sadly, the stink bug.
I was just going to say.
The stink bug.
Except for the stink bug.
Which is smart enough to find a place to
shelter. I found one
of
my toaster the other day. Yeah. I'm not kidding. Yeah.
Gross.
I know.
The stink bug made it. We're hoping that maybe the aphids didn't make it, or at least their population was reduced. But sadly, if their population was reduced, it's possible that the ladybugs, that their population was also reduced. So we got to wait and see, but I think we might see some changes in the insect population.
The ladybugs all came into my house.
Did they?
To spend the winter, yes. So they're all crawling all over the counters right now.
Nancy, for people who are getting started, this is the year they wanted to get started.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is mid-April, mm-hmm. and it's still a little mucky out there, right?
Yes, yeah.
And it's been cold, so maybe they're thinking I should just hold off. Maybe I shouldn't go with my plan, which was to put peas in the ground or get some lettuce started this time of year, even radishes. Can you hold off until things are a little warmer in May?
It's surprising you can hold off for a lot of things. I mean, if you put radishes in now and for the next 8 weeks, maybe even, if it gets too hot, they'll bolt really quickly, but grab them out of the ground. I mean, you know, if you start to get a little bit bigger and it gets really warm, snap them up and eat them, even if they don't look as big as you want them to be. But you can plant things in a lot of different times. It's just a matter of getting them in. It has been so wet. That's another reason I've been really careful about what I put in the ground, because the peas seeds will rot if the birds don't get them. And
But you went indoors with peas this year.
I went indoors with peas.
So you've gotten them out since.
Yes, I've put them in the ground since.
What do you have in the ground as we speak today?
I've got a little kale. The rabbits are loving it. Thank you. I have arugula. and some mixed lettuces, and what else did I put in?
I put my spinach in. My spinach is in.
Right. Yep.
And my lettuces.
Yep. And a little bit of cilantro, even though it's pushing it, but it's
an experiment. Long ago did you do that, Susan? Excuse me.
Well, I was telling Nancy, I always put my lettuces and spinach in the ground on my daughter's birthday, which is March 16th, and she was saying St. Patrick's Day, and I did, and it was, and they were covered with snow, but they don't mind.
No, they don't mind the snow.
So they're doing okay?
Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Nancy, you mentioned arugula. I love arugula, and I've thought about growing it, and I understand with arugula, there's like two growing seasons. You grow it in the spring, and then you grow it in the fall. Is that right?
Yeah, and if you are slow at it, the way I am, about cutting it all, some of it goes to flower, which is gorgeous, and then it'll set seed, and it'll go ahead and sow its second crop for you.
Oh, okay. So go ahead and plant it in the spring. Did you say yours is already in
Mine's
the ground?
Mine's in the ground. The rabbits are having a field day.
Yeah. What about the rabbits?
Well, my husband's not
Tell
home,
me about
and he
the
can
rabbits.
Shoot them.
Tell me about the rabbits,
the
Nancy.
The rabbits. Oh, my golly, the rabbits. And
what
I've,
are you doing?
I've got one. I looked out yesterday, and there's a little right beside there digging up things in the pots beside my kitchen window. And there was a bird that was bugging the rabbit. It was about this. The rabbit was 6 inches long. It was just a bunny.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, why can't the dog just eat that? But I'm sorry, I'm from the country.
I understand.
To this.
It's okay.
Nature red in tooth and claw is what it is everywhere we are.
So you don't put up wire or anything like that?
I do. I have a fence. I used to have a wire and the dig underneath of it, and I lay things on top of it. And I put sometimes I put up soap and all that kind of stuff. They're little flashy things, and at the moment they don't seem to be bothering other things that I don't want them to bother.
Okay, so you say it sounds like you've decided a certain amount of lettuce is going to go to the bunnies. And,
I tithe to the animals.
Tithe to the animals. 410-662-8780. How about you, Susan? How do you fare in your neck of the woods with varmints?
I'm in Annapolis, and I have a fence around my property. I don't have trouble with deer, but deer are creatures of habit, and they'll come to your neighbor's house, but never figure out they could also come to your house and eat the hostas. So if you aren't part of their habit, then you're lucky.
Right.
And I think my fence helps a little bit, but I saw last year rabbits were eating my perennials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were just mowing them right down. And
so if you're thinking about buying a house in a certain neighborhood, you can ask whether the deers go there or not, or do they go to the
ask
neighbors?
Your real estate
because
agent.
They're really
ask your real estate
All right.
agent.
Let's take a quick question here. Before we take our first break on this gardening hour with Susan Reimer and Nancy Taylor Robeson, Andy's up in Havre-de-Grâce. Havre-de-Grâce. Hi, Andy.
Yes, hi. How are you? Very big program. Don't start me on deer. We're within huffing distance of Susquehanna State Park.
Oh, yeah.
But my question is, Weather Bureau recently gave its long-term forecast that said it would get very hot very quickly and last until July. Now, we're very late in getting our garden started. Today, in fact, I'm putting in transplants. And my question is, for home gardens and the local groves, what's going to be the effect of the abrupt shortening of spring to a hot, dry summer?
Well, you're going to have to keep an eye on things, and maybe you want to shield it with a little bit of row cover if it starts to get really hot. Things will probably bolt much more quickly, meaning they'll grow up and they'll set seed, the annuals will. But if you keep clipping them, for example, if you keep clipping greens, lettuce and kale and all that kind of thing, and clip it right down to within probably an inch and a half of the ground, it'll probably come back for a little while, and it'll sort of forestall all the bolting, which turns it bitter, most of it.
Yes, right. It bolts. It grows too fast, in other words.
Yes.
From the warmth.
Yeah, it sends
so
up.
So clip it, basically prune
clip
it.
Keep it down. Keep it
and
way
use
down.
It.
And use it. Eat it. Yes, eat
Make
it.
Make a nice vinaigrette.
Yes,
and
yes.
Keep going. All right.
Yes.
Susan, we're
going
to take a break. Nancy, stay right there. 410-662-8780 with your gardening questions, especially if you're just getting started. You have a question for Master Gardeners, Nancy Taylor Robeson or Susan Reimer. A bit later on, Donna Crivello of Donna's Cafes will be joining us. Welcome back. It's our annual Spring Gardening Hour with Nancy Taylor Robeson and Susan Reimer. And Susan said she saw people buying geraniums, and geraniums go outside on the porch, on the deck, on the hanging they hang from things, right? Mm-hmm. It's too early to do that. Maybe wait a little while, be more patient. Nancy, you've noticed some of the gardening centers putting out sets maybe a little too early?
Well, the garden centers, because they're responding to consumers who want it, they get things in earlier than they know they really should. But if they've got people coming and it's not there and they can't sell it, then they'll go someplace else that is selling it. Mm-hmm. But it really is. A lot of times we demand that it comes in way too early, and then we put it in the ground, then we blame the garden centers.
Okay. Tomato plants, pepper plants. We're going to see those soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
How
mm-hmm.
soon? I mean, they're going to be in the markets soon.
Mother's
maybe
Day.
You got to be not till Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
All right, so you got a little bit of time. It's going to be warm until then.
Yeah.
But what about right now?
If you put them in now, if they don't die in an overnight frost like we've had this week, they won't do anything. You're not getting ahead. You won't get your tomatoes any faster. They'll just stop until the weather warms up and the ground warms up. So there's really no advantage.
Just got to be patient then.
Well, but there's one thing that you can do. There's a thing called a wall of water that I've put tomato plants in the ground in April. And then you fill up this wall of water. It's like this plastic thing, bag that you put over top of it with channels that you fill with water. And it reflects the sun. It keeps the heat in. It warms the ground up there. And I have them over there until the tomatoes come out of the top, but getting them off is tricky.
I've never seen that.
It's great
called,
stuff.
It's called Wall of Water.
Called,
is that the brand name?
It's brand name, Wall O Water,
huh.
And it works wonderfully. So you can do that. That'll really, in fact, give everything a really big start. Because I like to have those little red things by June.
410-662-8780. And Nancy gave me the results of those little red things, a nice jar of marinara sauce that I'll try next mm-hmm. time I whip up some pasta. Thank you, Nancy.
Oh, pleasure.
Nancy does a lot of canning and preserving. Here's Mary in Lutherville with a question for our guests. Hi, Mary.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just curious what the story is on impatience this year. Last year we had the fungus or the mold on the impatiens, and wondered if we were going to be able to get any this year.
I wrote extensively about the impatiens last year, and from what I was able to learn from all the experts out there is that we're going to have to wait until there is a variety of impatiens that is resistant to this fungus. The fungus isn't going to go away, and there is no effective one-time treatment for it. You can't just apply a fungicide one time and it'll protect the plant for the season. So I think anybody who is selling impatiens is being not very honest with its consumers, the big box stores who are still selling it because they can get it and people ask for it. You're going to have to find something else to take the place of impatiens because they think that a fungus-resistant hybrid is at least 5 years away.
Wow. Thank you, Susan. Peggy in Harford County with a couple of questions for us. Hi.
Hi. Yes, my first question is how to be successful with growing nasturtiums from seed. I keep trying. I've tried soaking them in water overnight, and I've tried trying to niche the seed case with, like, a sharp object. But I rarely have success with them. I maybe get out of a packet seeds one or two plants.
Okay. And so Peggy, you had a second question?
Excuse me?
Did you have a second question, too?
My second one was I wanted to know my lettuce is out there, and do I still have to cover it when we get the frost, or can I leave that uncovered?
Okay. So this sounds like a question for Susan and a question for Nancy, no? Do you want to take the nasturtium question? Either
Nancy,
one of you.
Do the nasturtium question.
Okay, well, the nasturtiums, I think, at least in my experience, don't germinate all that well. I've started them. The best luck I've had is to keep them in a little thing overnight in warm water. So I put it on a heat mat of some kind or something like that. So
you
the
mean
water,
the seed?
The seed itself. Mm-hmm. You soak it overnight in like a little custard cup
mm-hmm.
and just put it on enough warmth, just keep it 70 degrees and don't put it in the ground until like when you would put in the squash. And then it'll germinate better. But in my experience, nasturtiums tend not to germinate all that well.
When do we put in squash? May or June?
June. Yeah.
Okay. And her lettuce question, you said that your lettuce had snow on it and did okay.
I think you might want to cover it if it's in the ground. But I'm so lazy and mine seems to be okay.
Yeah, okay. 410-662-8780 is our phone number here. Let's take another call. Let's see, who do we have? It's Janet from Glendon. Hi, Janet.
It's actually Jeanette, and thank you for taking
my call.
Oh,
Jeanette, I'm sorry. Okay.
It's a little bit different, but it's about my permit system. I have a sensor con system that goes in the ground, and unfortunately I had to get it because they said it was very safe. But my concern is it really that safe? It goes along the border of my organic garden.
You know what? That's a question for the University of Maryland Master Gardener website and for John Tronfeld and the researchers over there. They do research that kind of stuff, and I don't know the answer to off the top of my head.
Okay, good. I'm glad you referred Jeanette to that, Nancy. Now I can tell our listeners that on my Facebook page and on our website, we'll have a link to that very important website of the University of Maryland Extension, where you get all kinds of great information that you can't pick up during this hour of the show. But that is a good question, because if people do insert those things into the ground to keep termites away, and it sounds like hers is close to her garden and would like an answer on that. 410-662-8780. David in Towson, you're up next. Hi.
Helpful show. Question about herbs. My wife puts all the herbs outside. Someone said earlier she lost the rosemary. What would be a candidate group of herbs to put in pots and take in off-season and those to have outside? Well, is there certain herbs that will grow well in the pots and bring them inside during the winter?
Woodies, the woody plants, the rosemary and...
Laurel.
Laurel.
How'd I do?
Very good. Huh? That was excellent.
Also known as bay leaf, right?
Yes, and sage.
And
thyme.
Blew right out of my head.
Oh,
what smells nice.
Don't you hate when that
lavender
happens? Lavender.
Oh, lavender, yeah.
So you can get lavender outside and bring all these inside. And they'll winter
parsley,
over?
My parsley does okay on the deck next to the house. The ones I think that won't make it are basil and cilantro, the really delicate ones.
Yeah, okay. The tender leaves.
And chervil.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All
chervil.
Those tender leaves and tender stems.
Yeah. My chervil dies.
Yeah.
What about the? I mentioned the laurel, laurel plant, which I love. Have your own bay leaf. It's kind of nice, but it seems like it's slow growing, to me. Mine is.
I had one that a friend of mine gave me 20 years ago that died last winter. I was so heartbroken, but I have another one.
How big had it gotten, Nancy? I'm curious. Really big or big?
Yeah.
Like a little Christmas tree.
The little Christmas tree. Yeah.
Wow.
But I've got a friend who's got a 40-year-old one that she keeps in a pot.
Really?
I babysit it when she goes away in the summer.
His email, I see no live buds on my hydrangea stalks, although there is new growth from the base. My hydrangeas do not flower on new growth. Am I not going to have flowers this year because of the hard winter?
My hydrangeas are doing the same thing. I'm seeing the new growth on the bottom, and I'm not seeing much life up above. You're just going to have to be patient, and you're going to have to wait. You can scrape the stems, as I suggested earlier, see if there's a little green underneath there. That means the stems are still alive, and they will bounce back. But it's going to be June before we know what happened to a lot of these plants that we expected to come back. I thought I'd lose my clematis, or clematis, however you choose to pronounce it. It's doing just fine.
Okay, good to hear. Alexa, writing to us from Kent County, Nancy.
I know Alexa.
Oh, do you?
Uh-huh.
Oh, she says.
I think so.
Should I use her last name? No, I don't usually use.
Ask her if her last name starts with a C.
No, this is not that Alexa.
It's not? Okay.
No, it's another Alexa.
Okay.
She says, here in Kent County, I had spinach, arugula, and kale winter over in raised beds uncovered.
Wow.
I'm eating spinach seeded last fall and did nothing to protect it. My seeds of spring lettuce and radishes, sugar snap peas, etc., are all up and undamaged by the cold. They can take a lot of chill. How do you like that?
She may have a microclimate that she's growing in, too.
Or it's the south side of the house.
Is that possible?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. If she's got it, you know, if there's like a brick wall that'll hold the sunlight and the warmth, it mitigates it amazingly.
So you're in Kent County, and you're not having that experience.
I'm not having that experience at all.
Here's Gail in Pikesville with a question for our guest. Hello, Gail.
Hi. I was at a garden show, and I bought some bulbs that are called Japanese wonder flowers, and they showed them low and mounding. It's supposed to be perennial.
They're supposed to flower all summer long, white, yellow, and pink. Do you have any experience with them?
Not me. But,
bulbs. Go ahead.
But you can find out just about anything you want to know on the internet, and there are plant sites that have pictures, growing tips, disease resistance, insect resist information on just about any plant, and you should be able to get what you need there. But that's not one I've heard of.
Since Gail brought up bulbs, flowers from bulbs, gladiolas. Have you planted gladiolas in your yard?
Yeah, I have. Not a big fan. Not a big fan.
You just don't like the way it looks?
No.
It's too green and not enough flower or what?
Yeah, it doesn't. The structure doesn't look right for my garden. I'm trying to grow an English cottage garden, and even though I don't live in England. But I'm going to do dahlias this year for the first time.
Oh, yeah, they're very nice. How about you, Nancy? Any experience with gladiolas?
I have. I love gladiolas because they make such a nice big spike in a flower arrangement in the house.
Yeah. And what about when to grow them and how to care for them? A little bit on that, please.
I shove them in the ground. If they do well, then I enjoy them and cut them. I have one left over from a planting of 10 of them that I made about 8 years ago, and every year it comes up and blooms beautifully, and I just admire it.
Do you remember when you planted it? What time of year?
I almost always plant bulbs in the fall, but this year I didn't get a chance to get my bulbs in, so I've been shoving them in. I've got a box up on the back porch, and I've been shoving them in pots around the back door, and the squirrels have been coming and taking them out and eating them.
So the rule of thumb with all bulbs?
Not necessarily.
Is the fall
no.
or not?
No.
Are there some you can plant in the spring
yes.
for late summer?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be the dahlias, and I think
and
the colchicums.
And
also the gladiolas. The problem with those is people who left them in the ground thinking that they could overwinter because they have in the past mm-hmm. might have been caught up short this year. They're a little labor intensive. You've got to dig them out in the fall and put them in peat, dry, mm-hmm. some kind of dry medium in the garage, keep them cool over, and then put them back in the winter. And people who had gotten lazy thinking, oh, they'll make it, might have been caught short this year.
Can we go over a little bit of the calendar? I'm just curious about if I remember the course of things, of planting. I know we've already mentioned you planted lettuce, spinach. Nancy got her peas in the ground after starting them inside. Radishes, right?
Now.
Let's see. What comes next? Where are we in toward the end of
beans.
April, early May? Beans go in.
Yeah, and usually you do the elbow test is what old farmers do. You put your elbow in the ground and get it down about an inch, and if it's way too cold for your elbow, it's too cold for the beans.
How long do you hold it there?
I don't, you know, that's a really good question.
Just long enough
some
to
people
know.
Some people use the backside test, and that's, you know, but that's yeah. when you don't have a lot of neighbors.
I like that. So the elbow test for beans.
For beans, yeah. Generally 55 degrees in the ground. If you've got a thermometer. Oh. I stick a thermometer in the ground, actually.
Oh, you're looking for 55 degrees
55
for beans.
55 degrees for beans.
String beans, wax beans,
that's
whatever.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. How about after that? We get into early May. What are we looking at then?
Well, then you can put these guys, the pepper plants and the tomato plants and all that kind of stuff. You can put those in the ground then.
Eggplant?
Eggplant is also tender like that. It's all the Solanaceae family. So that goes in Mother's Day, Mother's Day, Mother's Day.
Okay.
All of that.
All right, Nancy. And a question about Brussels sprouts. Have either of you tried to grow Brussels sprouts?
Why would I grow them? I hate them.
Oh, you do? Still? Still?
Yeah. With the Brussels.
You haven't been to Donna's Cafe to sample her Brussels sprouts.
You're right.
I mean, this is exceptional. She's going to talk about it when I get her in here in the studio.
I adore Brussels sprouts.
I like them. I like them just steamed with butter on them. But Donna, she basically burns them in cast iron, scorches mm-hmm. them a little bit with mm-hmm. some olive oil and salt and pepper. Mm-hmm. Is that good?
Or a little bit of bacon and garlic.
Oh.
Oh, you wouldn't talk about growing them, not eating them. They're cold weather. So you can, a lot of times they do better in this state if you put them in like in the beginning of August or middle of August at the very latest, and then they'll get a little frost on them before it gets really hard frost. Actually, if the way this year is going, you might want to put them at the end of July. And then when they get just a little bit of frost on them, they really taste good.
Okay, so you're looking to harvest them in what, October,
fall.
November?
Yeah, the Brussels sprouts, cabbage, and the kale, the second planting of kale, cauliflower, all of that is fall harvest.
Okay, so if you're thinking about Brussels sprouts this year, and boy, they get tall too, those plants.
Mm-hmm.
You got plenty of time to plan that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. My brother's a very good gardener, and he's up in Massachusetts. He had Brussels sprouts coming out of his ears last summer,
mm-hmm.
late fall, I should say.
This is the point where I want to make my pitch for farmers markets. I feel like if God wanted me to grow vegetables, he wouldn't have created farmers markets where I can go and get as much of whatever I want.
And there's so many of them now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And also, Nancy and I were talking about this earlier. You can tell when you go to a farmers market that these families are struggling. And being able to sell to the public is a really, really important income stream to them. And we are farmers markets, and people like me are keeping these small family farms afloat. And I think it's really important to do, because we want to eat local and grow local, eat local, and we rely on these guys. And
yeah, I'm totally with you.
Absolutely.
Plus, the lesson would be if you're going to do some backyard gardening, well, you only have so much space anyway,
mm-hmm, right?
Right. But don't try to overdo it and try to plant everything.
And everybody does that.
Yeah.
Everybody, their eyes are bigger than their garden plot or their stomach, and they try and do too much, especially if you're just starting. You're going to have some mortality, sure, but just start small, because it will overwhelm you at some point about the middle of July, and you'll quit in disgust, and that's not what we want.
Yeah, no, I almost never plant carrots for that reason. Because I don't want to give the space to it, and the farmers markets and the CSA grow beautifully.
Very good point. Thank you both of you very much. Here's a couple of questions by email, and then we'll take our next break. This one is from Sean. I'm sorry. This is from Otis, who says, "Should I do it in Otis's voice? I have green shoots growing. Never mind. Sorry. I have green shoots growing from my kale stalks left over from last year. I plan to replant my kale. What should I do with these?
Taste them."
Yeah. Go down there and nip them and see how they taste.
Cut them and taste them, yeah.
If they're not too tough?
If they're not bitter. If they're not bitter, go ahead and throw them in a pan with some olive oil and some shallots and some salt and pepper and garlic and eat them.
Another question for our master gardeners, this one from Tom. I know it is generally too early to sow vegetable seeds directly into the ground.
Some.
But what about wildflowers, i.e., will wildflower seed germinate in the soil right now if I spread it, or should I wait on that?
I think it's too cold.
And the
ground's too cold.
Well, it depends, doesn't it, on what it is? Because if it's native seed, you figure the way the native plant works is it sows the seed for itself in the fall when it goes to seed, if it's an annual, and then it's spread there and it goes through the whole cycle.
So you ought to take a look at the contents of your wild seed mixture,
yes,
or wildflower mixture, or whatever it is. If it's native, it's probably okay?
I would assume so, because that is its natural cycle. It's just to rejuvenate itself every year through seed.
We're talking about gardening, obviously, in this hour of our show. This is our annual spring gardening show with Susan Reimer and Nancy Taylor Robeson, Master Gardeners. If you have questions, please keep calling 410-662-8780, Midday's email address, midday@wypr.org. When we get back, we'll be joined by Donna Crivello of Donna's Cafes to tell us what to do with the veggies of your labor. A short break here on Midday. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Midday Friday. Dan Roderick's here with Master Gardeners Susan Reimer and Nancy Taylor Robeson. And in a minute, we're going to say hello to Donna Crivello from Donna's Cafe. We have a couple of questions I wanted to ask. Let's see, leeks. This morning, I saw a tweet from Tersigal's restaurant out in Ellicott City. They had a beautiful photograph of leeks, and I love leeks. And Nancy, have you tried growing them?
I have grown leeks. I've started them from seed, and then you plant them out, and it's like trying to plant a thread. And I'm not successful that way, but then I order them from Dixondale Farms, and I plant out things that are about the size of a pencil, and then I do harvest them. They take about 110 days to come to good size. But it's wonderful because you can plant them in the, sort of June-ish, July-ish, and then if you cover them over with plenty of straw, even with a winter like this, if you've got a really thick layer of straw, you can reach in about, January, February, and you can pull out leeks for soup.
You said Dixondale Farm?
Yes,
Maryland, or is it you have to mail away?
No, it's mail.
It's a mail order.
Yes.
Because the seed is so tiny? You said thread-like.
Well, no, you put the seed in, it's tiny, but then by the time it comes up and it's ready to sort of be transplanted out, I can't get it, growing it in the greenhouse, I can't get it to any size.
Oh, I see.
So, it's time to put it in the ground. It's the size of a thread. It's a
misery.
So
you wouldn't plant it just from seed in the ground. You'd start it indoors.
I don't, but the CSA gal does, and she does a beautiful job with it.
Okay. The easiest thing to do.
Colchester CSA, as long as I'm going to give her a plug.
But you say that, I'm glad, I appreciate this advice. The easiest thing to do is just to mail away for.
It is for me,
yes. Starters, the little starter kit. And Susan and Nancy, what about garlic and onions? We kind of skipped over that in our little calendar of planting from Maryland. When do you go with onions and garlic?
I'm pretty sure my neighbor Ron, who's my own personal CSA guy, he puts the onion sets in the fall and then harvests them in June. And I'm not sure when he would put the garlic in, but would it be the same?
I do the garlic. I grow a lot of garlic, and I put it in the fall. And I grow hardneck garlic, which then is just beginning in about end of May, beginning of June, to put up a scape that you can clip off.
Garlic scapes.
Yeah. And but the cipollinis you could put in now. The cipollini onions you can plant now. And Teresa Misek at the Colchester at the CSA down the road from us, she starts onions in the greenhouse or in her high tunnel now, and she'll be harvesting them in probably July.
Okay. Donna Crivello is here from Donna's Cafe. Nice to see you, Donna.
Nice to see you.
And we invited you in because, if you're growing all this neat stuff, this good stuff in your backyard, you got to know what to do with it. So I thought maybe you could offer us a few recipes for what's fresh in the market right now or coming in from gardens.
Well, I did hear a few things that sound just perfect, and that is if you see some wonderful greens or what you have growing, just kind of toss it in with a little bit of olive oil, garlic, and salt and pepper. I looked out in our garden this morning, and we have things coming back from last year. And
I see the chive.
Lot of people do.
You brought in the chive.
Chives are wonderful. We have, and this is on the deck at Cross Keys.
What do you do with chive besides cut it up and sprinkle it on a baked potato with sour cream? Come on, that's all I know what to do with chive.
Well, that's great, and I put it on top of risotto. But what another
you
thing
put
you
it
can
on
do?
Risotto.
You put it on
a
risotto.
Garnish,
a little garnish for risotto.
Color.
Little color, little flavor too. But make a chive oil. This is what I have, and our chef at Cross Keys, Ian, makes a nice chive oil too. And you take the chives, put them in a blender. A food processor doesn't really work as well. Put them in a blender, extra virgin olive oil, and then just blend it. You've got a beautiful green oil.
It does look great.
Does it look great?
So what do you do with that?
Well, let's say you grill a piece of salmon or halibut or something really, that needs something to match it, and you can drizzle a little bit of this chive oil underneath.
I like that.
And then you have
a beautiful contrast with
whatever you've just grilled.
What's
or
that
baked.
Other green you brought with
oh,
the chive?
Oh, this other green. This
one here.
Oh,
what
this I planted last year because I thought it was so beautiful. And this I'm sure you all recognize. This is a red-veined sorrel. Now, sorrel is one of those great. This came back. It's amazing. It has these. This is from Charles Village. Has beautiful, which you say is like a little microclimate.
Yeah.
I think it's in a little corner where the ones in Cross Keys are just about a half an inch right now, and these are 3 or 4 inches with this
beautiful leaf.
It looks something like a red chard, and when you taste it, it tastes lemony.
It's the shape of a feather.
Yeah,
what a beautiful pattern it has.
It tastes very lemony. It's not as
Can
lemony.
Can I just bite into
this? Yeah, it is.
You don't have to cook it.
No, you could just, what I would do with this, with sorrel or anything else that's popping up
it's
right
lemony.
Now.
As you said,
it is.
Donna,
yeah.
It's lemony.
Now, you could just chop that up and throw it into a salad so that it kind of, the flavors burst through with all your other greens if you happen to have some little greens right now. Or you could puree that. Then you could make a little sauce with your sorrel. It's very common to have a sorrel with a fish because it's so lemony. But it would also work with chicken, any meat or poultry that wants
lamb
to have
maybe?
A little. Yeah. And speaking of lamb, Sunday's Easter. I had a lot of mint. Mint is starting to come up, depending upon how.
And it'll always come up.
It'll come up, and it'll come up right in.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've
it's
talked
pretty
about
reliable.
All of that. So I made a quick mint pine nut pesto. the way you would make a basil pesto.
Mint pine nut pesto.
Right, with garlic. Parmesan cheese and olive oil and garlic.
Very innovative, Donna. I like this. There's not just you're not satisfied with the pesto, with the basil and the pignoli, right? Throw a little mint in there.
You could actually add a little bit of parsley to that, or you could add, to keep it greener, or a little bit of
cilantro.
Anything else you have coming up? Even a little bit of the sorrel in there would be nice.
I get off the boat with cilantro. I'm sorry. I'm on the other side of
the
world.
You don't like the other side of the world? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't do the cilantro. You put cilantro with a pesto, I would feel bad for the pesto. But that's me. That's me. That's not everybody. Do you grow cilantro?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Okay. But the cilantro, I love cilantro too, but but everybody likes to have some mint. Traditionally, people had mint with their lamb, but you know we don't really want to use mint jelly. But a little bit of grilled, a couple of grilled lamb chops with a little daub of the mint pesto with it would be really nice. Or if you were going to make a pasta, you could just toss this in and put some of your herbs.
These recipes that Dawn is discussing are going to appear on our Facebook page today, and you've got herb encrusted salmon on roasted spring vegetable salad with a caper vinaigrette. That's another one that you brought for us.
These were some spring inspired vegetables, vegetable recipes with some seafood or poultry.
What about a spring risotto? What makes your risotto a spring risotto? Chive?
Finishing with chives, right? But I made
asparagus?
One the other day. Asparagus,
ooh, asparagus.
Peas, spring peas, and then if you can get pea shoots. When your peas are just, starting to grow and you can snip off some of the little shoots, you can finish it with that. But the peas are a vegetable that need a little bit of cooking, but not a lot. So when you're making a risotto, you start the risotto and you'll have a vegetable stock that you've made from some of the vegetables you have, like carrots and leeks and some green onions, and then saute the green onions and leeks first and then add your risotto. Cook that for about 15 minutes and then put your vegetables in, put in the peas, and then at the very end, put in some asparagus that's been cut on the diagonal. So you only want that asparagus to cook for about 2 or 3 minutes at the end.
That's a whole meal right there. That's
beautiful.
Yeah.
And then you can finish it with some snipped. I always take little scissors and snip to get the chive.
We'll find a use for that chive yet. Thank you very much,
They're
Donna.
They're so pretty.
We're going to take a couple more calls for Susan and Nancy, and then Donna will sit right there, and I have a couple more questions. I want to ask you about Brussels sprouts before this hour's up. Julia in Pikesville, you're up next on Midday. Hi.
Hi. I have a question as a new homeowner about the quickest, easiest things to plant and harvest in terms of flowers, trees, edibles, bushes.
Julia, that's a whole show. If you might want to find a landscape designer who might charge you by the hour and come and give you an hour's worth of advice in terms of the kind of soil you have and where your house is placed and whether you've got sun or shade. But you can also look, just about every single catalog now has a pre-planned garden and they'll have a picture of it and you send in your money and they'll send you just the right number of plants and you can get them in variety of shapes for, along the side of a garage or an oasis in the middle of the yard, anything. And then you can buy the plants and put those in yourself.
Somebody's doing that, huh? They're scheming out gardens online and you can order the garden.
Yeah. Nourish Mat is something that I think is it's a new thing that I think a couple of guys from here, but I'm not sure they're from Maryland. But it's like a twister thing, and you lay it down.
Twister game?
It's like the twister game.
I love twister.
And you lay there you go, and you lay it down, and you can plug in. They've got holes, strategic holes, and they can sell you, depending upon what you want to plant, little balled up bits of seed that are inside these little, and you just jam them in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
And you get a garden that's got some symmetry to it.
Yeah, you get a garden grid.
Just I would say if you have a blank canvas here, get some professional advice. We all make mistakes. All us rookies, we plant trees too close to the house. We don't put the right foundation plants in. We don't site the vegetable garden correctly. Spend a little money and either get some hourly advice or have somebody draw
Very
a plan
good, Susan.
For you.
And get your soil tested.
Get your soil tested.
Mm-hmm. Joe in Fells Point with a question for us. Hello.
Hi, Dan. Your guests were talking about farmers markets just in the last few minutes. Do they, vendors and farmers markets, do they face any kind of scrutiny, those that claim that their produce is organic?
I think the Maryland Department of Agriculture watches over those people, and organic is kind of in the eye of the beholder. I'm not sure what Maryland.
There is some certification.
Yeah, there's a definite certification for organic. If you want to be actually call yourself organic, you have to go through a certification process, and it takes 3 years in the soil and all that kind of thing. But for us, where we are, for example, we all know each other really well, and I know that the gal down the road grows things organically, but she's not certified. So it's sort of back to the local thing, knowing who you're buying from. Mm-hmm.
Barb in Baltimore, go ahead with your question. Hello.
Hi, thanks. Just broccoli. Whenever I plant it in May, I'm told I'm planting it too late. But it always grows. It's still good.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Okay. Where you right here in Baltimore, Barb, or Baltimore County?
Yeah, Baltimore City.
Okay.
Right in Gardenville.
Well, what did you just say?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, go with it. When do you plant broccoli?
I stick it in the ground almost any time from now on.
Okay. And you get it has a long growing season, or do you plant it multiple times?
Well, you can plant it a second time. I often don't get organized enough to do that. But the thing about broccoli is it doesn't like too much heat, so it'll start setting flower head instead of being what you can eat if it gets too warm.
Have you ever grown broccoli rabe? Have you? She's nodding. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yeah,
it's radio.
You can't hear a nod on the radio. Yeah, it's just, I like it because it grows faster and you can clip it off and you don't have to worry as much. It's a shorter, it takes a little bit less time than a real broccoli stem.
Oh, that sounds good. How about that, Donna? Yeah. We both love broccoli rabe.
I do too.
I've never tried to grow it.
Garlic, hot pepper flakes, sausage.
Yeah.
Saute that, then toss that in with a little bit of... Orchietti pasta or something.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
There you go. Now, before we finish out here, a little bit on Brussels sprouts, would you?
Okay.
Because I know Susan is determined not to grow them. Nancy does, and I was thinking about it. My brother has them coming out of his ears in Massachusetts. So.
Well, I've never grown them, but I see them.
No, how you cook them. This particular way you cook them at Donna's is so good.
Well,
so tell our listeners.
Well, actually, we think of them more as a fall, winter vegetable, so kind of easing off on the Brussels sprouts right now. But to bring out the flavor, you really want to cook them on a high heat. You either want to saute them in a pan or roast them in the oven. So an easy way is just take them, toss them with olive oil, and throw them on a cookie sheet with salt and pepper and roast them until they get
Is that how you've done
crispy.
It at Donna's?
When they're a little bit burned, we put them in a pan, a saute pan, olive oil, and then they're blanched first. And then you just crisp them up. And you can also put them in the fryer.
So you blanch them first a little.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now,
well,
when I do
very
them.
Good, very good. Very good. Why don't you try the appetizer there,
Here's
Susan.
An easy way. You do them at home, a saute pan. First take them, cut them in half, put a little bit of water in the pan. And put a lid on, and maybe 2 or 3 minutes. Take the lid off, hit it with some olive oil and a little bit of garlic, a little bit of salt and pepper, and now they're going to start to stick to the pan a little bit. And then, as they're almost finished, just put a splash of balsamic vinegar in. And it'll bring out the crispness, the flavor, that cruciferous vegetable flavor that we like from broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts.
Can I get Brussels sprouts in the market still?
Yes.
It's April.
Yes,
can you?
Yes. And I've even seen
Otherwise,
them on
the
stock,
Otherwise, I have to wait till later in the year. Nancy Taylor Robeson, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
The Grow It, Eat It lady. Susan Reimer, who writes about gardening in the Baltimore Sun. Nice to have you with us, Master
always,
Gardener Susan.
Always.
And Donna Crivello of Donna's cafes here in Baltimore and Cross Keys and Charles Village. And look for Donna's recipes on the Dan Rodrigues Facebook page. Thank you for doing all that, Donna.
Well, thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. And thanks, everybody. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you again on Monday.
Midday's senior producer is Nikki Gamer. The producer and director is Jonathan Ahrens. The associate producer, Michael Hemowitz. Our interns are Luke Spicknell, James Daly, Tom Cartaxo, and Michelle Richardson. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcasts and live streaming available at WYPR.org. Dan Roderick's column appears in the Baltimore Sun. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.